When we're children, our parents set up boundaries for us to keep us safe. It starts out as a little playpen, and then the boundary expands to maybe our room, our house, and it keeps on expanding in different ways. Of course, we push up against the boundary, but fundamentally, the boundary is there to keep us safe. Oftentimes, like, you know, from the street, our parents or our stovetop, our parents will literally use their hands to hold us back, protecting the boundary which they've set for us. And then when we grow up, we get into school and we realize there are other types of boundaries. Boundaries, for example, appropriate boundaries between our teacher and us as students. And then we get into the working world, we see that there are still other boundaries between employer and employee. And the boundaries start to define, and we start to understand them and to abide by them because they're appropriate for the most part. Every now and then we come up against some boundaries that are maybe inappropriate, things that maybe are not fair or just, and we push against that boundary, demanding it to that boundary to be revisited, to be redefined, because it's not a fair boundary. And that's where you have maybe employee and employer tensions, that you have to redefine boundaries. It can also happen among ethnic groups or in races in different ways. In today's gospel and in today's all of the readings, it's all about boundaries and boundary crossing. Jesus starts out, and we might not see the context, but Jesus has just scolded the Pharisees in a reading just before this about the definition that they were being hypocrites about what they said, their boundaries, and what they actually did. And now he enters into the district of Tyre and Sidon, a boundary which was unheard of for a Jew to go into, because this is a Canaanite land. So he, by walking into this, is already now crossing into a new boundary where Jews are not meant to travel. And now the first thing that happens is a Canaanite woman, of course, comes up to see him. Well, of course you'd see a Canaanite woman, because that's what lived there, is Canaanites. But she asks of him, which they were not even meant to, a woman was not even meant to talk to a man. Now a Canaanite woman was talking to a Jewish man, another boundaries smatter. And she asked for healing. Now here's what's strange for us. When we hear Jesus in this gospel, it's startling because it's so uncharacteristically Jesus. He completely ignores her. Completely ignores her, as if she wasn't even there. So what is it to do? Those who are the bastions of the boundary, his disciples, says, tell her to get lost. Tell her to leave us alone. And he goes, yeah, you're right. I'm meant to be here just for us Jews, right? And they go, yeah, that's right. Tell her to get lost. And she does not. She refuses, look, and she pleads out of mercy, pleads out of need, and says, help me, Lord. Help me. So the boundary is about to get smashed. You can see it coming. And Jesus says, well, you know, and he reiterates the rule, but he calls her a dog. Now this is completely uncharacteristic. We're going like, this is mind blowing for our Jesus to call this Canaanite woman. Why would I give food from the children and give it to dogs? You're a dog. You're a Canaanite. And she goes again. She goes right back at him. Even dogs can eat the scraps. Just give me healing for my daughter. And her faith, and then he turns around and then highlights, the validates the boundary crossing by saying, your faith has saved you. Everything is right. You did the right thing. Now, we don't know whether we believe that Jesus does this intentionally to be bombastic to his disciples, to get their attention, because they're not exactly the smartest and the quickest on the pickup here. Right? This is a constant struggle with the disciples. He gives them straightforward message and they lose it. So the subtlety is lost on them. So he goes straight at them in the face. And, of course, we'll find out next week, they miss the point again. We must not miss the point. We have the luxury of thousands of years of scholarship and great perspective, because the first reading, Paul, who wrote the same time as this gospel and was preaching at the same time, said the gospel is for everyone. Christ is for everyone. He broke his own boundaries. He, a Jew, was the disciple and the apostle to the Gentiles. And he proclaimed Jesus Christ for everyone. And he turns around to his Jewish brothers and sisters and says, hey, and by the way, that's for you too. Come join me. But he says it's all about Christ. Now, interesting enough, the prophet Isaiah, some thousands of years later in the first reading, says the same thing. This message of God is for all people of all races and ethnic divides. Wow, is there ever a time in our country did we need to hear that? This week, what has happened to our country is a boundary. And we must smash that boundary. We must not allow, we must cross over that boundary to ensure and to make sure that we know what we are meant to stand for. It is impossible for us to stand with anyone who says that the whites are supreme. It is impossible. We cannot stand. We have to cross over the boundary. Those who claim the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, or white supremacists who will take up arms and hatred and bigotry to claim their message. That is not a Christian message. We cannot have anything to do with that. Regardless of what else they will say, that message is completely incompatible with the message of the gospel. There must be no equivocation, no method, no words that might even hint at us possibly agreeing with that. And there must be no lack of words on our behalf. We must be willing to say and cross the boundary and say, no, whatever else we might agree on, we cannot and will not agree with those words. Those are unacceptable for us. There is no race supreme. There is no white nationalist. There is no white agenda. There is only the people. We have to remain steadfast. That is our gospel. Every bishop in the country has spoken out. Our own bishop has spoken out. Every one of us must rise up and cross over that boundary and not allow our nation or our religion to be compromised by such a horrendous and hateful message. Jesus came so that all would be saved. All races, all colors, all peoples. There is no equivocation on that. There cannot be and must never be. We stand united in one baptism with one Lord at one table. And that is how we must be seen. Sometimes silence is not appropriate. Sometimes silence is not appropriate. Now, when we protest, we must do so in non-violent, peaceful ways. Absolutely. But we cannot stand on that other line. Under any circumstance. We must cross the boundary and be associated only with the true Christian message. That the message of Christ and God's love is for all people, in all times, in all places. Our bishop, P.J. McGraw, wrote a letter to be read out to everyone in the diocese and to be put into our bulletins, so I read it. Tolerance is one of the founding principles of the United States of America. It is enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, which declared, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Sadly, we have not always lived up to such lofty rhetoric, as evidenced most notably in the practice of slavery, the internment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War, and racism and bigotry that historically has scarred our nation and our society. We have the capacity to learn from our past errors, and we must continue to do so. The American dream lives on in spite of the many challenges we still face, but it is threatened. Recent events in Charlottesville, Virginia, are indicative of the limits of tolerance. The hate-driven speech and the actions of neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and the KKK are rooted in racism that can find no home in this country or in our world. To invoke the name of God as justification for racist bigotry is an affront to all believers. Santa Clara County, in which we are privileged to live, to raise families and to contribute to the common good, is enriched by the religious, cultural, and ethnic diversity of the residents and the workers. This diversity is not only our strength, it is our beauty. As Catholics, we are involved in a dialogue that builds bridges within our own parishes and our dioceses, and indeed with the larger community. We cherish the descendants of those who were here before the European, as well as all whose relatives, even themselves, have come to this valley in successive waves of emigration. In the same way, we must foster and defend the rights and the dignity of all who are vulnerable because of their race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, age, language, or any other defining characteristic. As our Catholic community, and indeed, I ask our Catholic community, indeed all people of goodwill, to join me in prayer and work that is rooted in justice and peace for all. Bishop Patrick J. McGraw.